The college football off-season continues to bring good news with another Pro Kick Australia gun and former Weber State punter Blake O'Neill signing on with the Michigan Wolverines this week in what has been dubbed as pretty much their biggest signing since signing Jim Harbaugh.
I don't know about
that's
that.
That's what they've called it. That's what I've been hearing on the forums.
Biggest signing.
The biggest signing since Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, you're pumping up my tires.
Undisputed.
Here. Yeah, and you've been very kind to join us in the studio. So thank you very much, Blake, and congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, boys. Now, good to be here. You've always been a good supporter of Pro-Kick Oz.
We do try. So obviously, we've got Cam Johnson at Ohio State, Jamie Keane at LSU, Dan Pasquariello at Penn State, now you at Michigan. It's taken a few years, but we're really starting to really cement ourselves in not just any college football programs, but really the biggest college football programs of them all. So what does it mean for you to actually sign at one of these schools and potentially start a legacy like guys at LSU and pave the way for other Australians to actually start in the program at Michigan?
Well, that's definitely the hope. Given that I am a senior punter and only got the 1 year left, the hope is that I can come in there, do a good job, and another boy can come in after me. It really is a shifting point, I would say. If you spoke to John Smith or Nathan Chapman, they'd echo the same thing. We had a US kid just down this past week, Sam Loy, I think his class of 2016, a kicker punter, came down and took it out of his own time to come down and kick with us, which really does go to show the impact that Aussies are having on the college game.
Mm.
And I guess the awareness that wasn't necessarily there years past. There were certainly boys doing great jobs at Hawaii, Alex Denaki, obviously Tom Hackett at Utah, at what are also big programs, but perhaps not on the level of an Ohio State or an LSU, just in terms of followers and attendance. But it's a great honour to play for Michigan, definitely.
Now, you came into this recruiting process in a really interesting way in terms of you're playing junior footy. You actually did your degree at RMIT. You actually graduated from there, 3-year degree. So you've used up most of your eligibility. Can you talk us through how you actually discovered punting or Nathan Chapman and that process?
Yeah, well, I finished my degree and thought, well, I don't really want to go to work just yet.
Really? Oh, that's what it was?
Yeah, well, that was one of the reasons. And I'd been playing amateur footy, at Old Trinity. And probably played, I think, about 4 or 5 games over... about 2 years. So look, I wasn't very prolific there.
What position?
I was playing off the half back,
right?
Which, funnily enough, does come into the pooch punting a little bit, rolling out and trying to rake one. But look, I finished at RMIT and went to Nathan and said, "Do you think I've got what it takes to make it in the college system?" He did his stock standard sort of evaluation of me, had to kick a ball 45 yards, I think it was. And then he said, yeah, you better get in the program. So,
did you know why that was?
Why was that?
It wasn't Lockie. Because of your leg.
What was it because of?
It was your former background.
What former background might you be suggesting?
Oh, I think he knows this. You wouldn't happen to be a former model at Vivian's modelling agency,
right? Yeah, you've got me.
Yeah?
Yeah, you've got me there. Yeah.
Good looking rooster, so it shouldn't surprise anyone.
No, well, I'll
ease up, Chris,
you,
mate.
But yeah,
let's keep this, you know.
You two are very good at pumping up the tyres of your guests, I'll tell you what. But look, mate, great way to pay your way through uni, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Vivian's modelling agency.
Yes, one of the prestige modelling agencies of the Melbourne industry.
Apparently so.
I don't know how. I mean, I am incredibly envious of what you'll be able to achieve at Michigan.
This is a sports program, right?
Mate.
Sports and entertainment.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Just general entertainment.
Yeah, sports and entertainment.
You blokes should go on TMZ.
We've got as much credibility as them.
Probably.
Which is not much. But in terms of the Vivian Modeling Agency,
yes.
I mean, what sort of skill sets did that teach you?
Skill sets.
Well, how to handle?
You certainly spend a lot of time in front of a camera.
Yeah,
can
handle the limelight.
Yeah, can handle the fans. You know how to. You obviously had a huge.
No,
following.
I can't say I had a huge following at when I was a model, but
a lot of Twitter followers from your modelling career.
No, unfortunately not.
What sort of campaigns were you doing?
What campaigns did I do? I did a Bonds campaign. You can see me in MeUndies, in one of the Christmas commercials for that.
Man, sorority is going to be all over, Blake.
Yeah. Well. Your words, not mine, but
Chris and I are coming to visit now for sure.
Oh, I've heard that. No, I figured that's why you got me in here, to just pretty much up for some tickets. So
make sure that we establish the friendship before you actually head over there.
Yeah. No, absolutely. That's fine. That's fine, boys. Happy to lend a hand when I can.
Sweet. So once you actually made your way into Pro Kick, you found your way to Weber State.
Mm-hmm.
So how was that?
Weber State was great. Coach Hill, fantastic coach. Obviously came off coaching Tommy Hackett at Utah and had quite a successful stint there, and I guess wanted for bigger and better things and wanted to move into head coaching, so I got to Weber State, and that's how I got there. Yeah, had a bit of an up and down year. I sort of took a while to get my feet a little bit, playing the first game in front of Arizona State and 52,000 odd people. Was a little bit of a realization that I was playing college football.
52 is nothing, mate, compared to what you're going to be playing at Michigan.
Not compared to the Big House, but, mate, once it gets to those levels, I think it's just a noise factor more than anything else. Yeah, great year there, and fortunately had a pretty good average, and he also was a great proponent of the Aussie style, and quite likes the way the Aussie style can influence the game in terms of rolling out, kicking drop punts, holding on to it for a bit longer, not necessarily focusing on footwork and release.
And a lot of that is because of the fact that you have come from an Australian rules background and you're not afraid of a little contact, which might be the case for a lot of American punters, I guess.
Mate, I got laid out.
Well, I've got a quote, though, that really sums up. Nathan Chapman has gone all out on Blake O'Neill in terms of pumping him up. Here we go. Man, if this is not a guy just absolutely laying out all the superlatives to someone, I don't know what is. He's powerful. He's strong, said Nathan Chapman, the owner and coach of Pro Kick Australia in Melbourne. He's thick, whatever that means.
Is that a bad thing?
No.
Referring to your brain?
About my smarts.
He'll want to run down and tackle you and rip your head off. He's got speed. He can throw. There's a lot of bonuses and pluses to Blake as a player, which is going to be great. Going to be a great player for Coach Harbaugh. And then, I'm not sure, I can't find the quote now, but he basically said, it doesn't matter that you've got 1 year at Michigan because, you know, you'll have the NFL straight after that. So, no expectations, mate, by the sounds of things.
Yeah, no, he set the bar pretty low there. Well, at the same time there, like, he's not going to come out and say, yeah, he's a bit of a spud.
he can now. You've signed, mate.
Not the smartest kid. Don't expect too much.
He's not very good at academics. He really struggles in the classroom, and he's got an absolute noodle for a week.
I would love if
and he's a pain off field as well.
Like, if he did it to one of the programs that has made him and Johnny's life hell for, like, the last 6 years in terms of, you know, and finally, like, set, like, a big program, set them up and give them an absolute... absolute spud of an Aussie player and basically just say, we're even now.
Good luck.
Yeah.
Amateur kick, Australia.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Amateur kick.
Yeah.
Mate, he's got the humour as well.
He's on. That's what we need on radio. This is what we're asking for.
It was an entertainment program, boys.
Absolutely. You're bringing the entertainment.
Yeah, well, we don't have it, so we have to get our guests to bring it. But in terms of Weber State, you said that, you know, you're thankful for Coach Hill and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
Because they could have made your life difficult, but they let you go because they probably know that you got, you know, bigger things you can achieve, and that might be more achievable at a program such as Michigan. Is that a fair statement?
Yes and no. I think I very much said to Coach Hill that the reason I wanted to leave was I had an opportunity there to play football and get my education paid for.
Mm.
I felt the program that I was doing, the professional communication program, was a good program for the people that were heading down that path, but that certainly wasn't the path that I envisioned myself heading down.
Yeah.
Yeah, he could have made it hard, but it speaks volumes about the bloke. You know, I sat in his office and said, look, it's not exactly what I'm looking for. This isn't the exact experience I wanted. And he said, look, I don't necessarily agree with it. I don't like it. But if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do. So we shook hands and sort of parted ways. But yeah, I still call him now and touch base with him and keep in touch.
And then, so how long ago did you actually start meeting with Michigan? When did that whole process start up? And then when did it become, serious?
Jesus, that's the recruiting process though, Chris. You know, it's when do you say it's serious? When do you say it's not? I remember Sam Lawyer mentioned earlier, his dad Terry was saying, oh, you know, it's serious when they ask for your transcripts, but what does that really mean, you know?
Sure.
Because things can fall over at any second, and you see that in a lot of the recruiting. Even you look at Zach Gentry now, he's going to come over to Michigan from Texas after committing there. It's back and forth. So we started talking in February. in terms of, yeah, academics and looking at transcripts and that sort of thing, but it probably wasn't until early March that I got on the phone to Coach Bax and sort of got serious about coming over and having the official visit and that sort of thing.
Talking of the official visit, how long did you spend picking out your outfit, mate? Because I've never seen anyone dressed to the nines when they go on an official visit like that. Usually it's
a former model. He has access to fashion designers and everything like that. He's got hookups, surely.
Well, there are two choices, boys. I either present myself well, or I go wearing stubbies, Uggs, and a singlet.
Are you Australian or are you not?
Well, that was the thing. Do I go full out blown Australian and like bring a case of EB?
And you didn't.
And I didn't.
You went Gucci.
I went...
Clearly, you're too much stuck in the 80s, mate. The men these days, the kids these days, the athletes, they dress
But do people
very
that
nicely.
Reside 45 minutes to an hour outside of Detroit dress like Blake dressed? I don't think.
Are they all getting a scholarship to Michigan?
You wouldn't fit in there. Well, you wouldn't fit in Detroit. You'd probably fit in
Michigan. It's a growing cultural hub, Detroit. I don't know what you've
Jeez, they've
reading.
Spun you, haven't they?
they've got fantastic area.
They've given you the PR.
Let's just list off some people who come from just Marshall Mathers.
Oh, Eminem. Yeah. Epitome of
Absolutely
class.
Absolutely epitome of class and style. I don't know any Madonna. Also, U of M.
I think you're struggling here, Blake.
Graduate. All right,
if you go to a Madonna and an Eminem, I think...
Pillars of the pop industry, Locke.
Yeah, but in terms of being class act, I mean, you did see Madonna recently.
Successful,
I mean,
though. We can
oh, if we want to go off success, absolutely.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're getting off football, Chris.
Yeah, so the last couple of seasons have probably been relatively disappointing from a Michigan Wolverines perspective. They're obviously one of these teams that have had an illustrious... history, but the last couple of years haven't quite been so hot, I guess. That's why they signed Jim Harbaugh over the offseason. From what you've been able to tell with Jim, what is he envisioning for the season? And do you think, how much hope and excitement should the fans of Michigan actually have coming into the season?
A lot. I think a lot. I think that was pretty evident at the spring game, where I think it was 35,000, even more, turned up, which is pretty unheard of for a spring game. But Coach Harbaugh's got a certain energy about him. There's no doubt about that. I was reading an article actually about another transfer, Jake Ruddock, who's coming across from Iowa, and he said when Coach Harbaugh walks in the room, he certainly changes the thermostat. And there's no doubt about that. I was walking down the field actually on my official visit. He goes, "Oi, Blake, come over here." I went, "Oh, okay. Who's this?" Oh, Coach Harbaugh, all right. Yeah, right. Okay.
Who's this?
Oh, well, obviously didn't know. Turned my back, turned around and went, "Coach Harbaugh, how are you going? Nice to meet you." And he goes, "Yeah, g'day, mate. How are you?"
Awesome.
Yeah,
really?
Okay. He's a very down-to-earth guy.
Nice one.
But in terms of the way he's taking the football program, I mean, you look at spring practice and they were practicing 4 hours a day. They were taking their full 4 hours and using it instead of using it for film study. Those sorts of things speak volumes to me about what he's trying to do to flip the program around and really assess what talent he's got there and what he's got to work with and where he's perhaps areas of are lacking and where he needs to fill those in. So I think Michigan fans have got a lot to be optimistic about.
How do you approach the season given that there's so many unique factors in terms of you only get 1 year at the program, you've only got, I suppose... It's going to be a learning experience, but you've also got to perform at the top straight away. How do you go into the season thinking, well, you know, you're going to be playing in front of 100,000 people week in, week out. Have you had any games of 100,000 at Weber State yet? Not at Weber State, obviously. But
at Weber State, yeah, I reckon we have. You just pack out the car park.
Yeah. In terms of what's the biggest crowd you played in front of?
At Old Trinity. We can include Old Trinity in this as well.
Old Trinity, yeah. The 250. Cardboard cutouts at the game. No, look, I reckon... 52 would have been the biggest. next biggest, 17 odd at Montana State. Look, mate, it is what it is. A crowd's a crowd. There's nothing that I can do to prepare for that. You literally just got to get there and deal with it on the day. So as far as coming in for a year, I'm pretty confident and comfortable with what Coach Baxter wants to do with the program and where he wants to take it and the types of plays he wants to run. So... as I say, it is what it is. You just go in there and do your best.
So looking at the Wolverine schedule for this season, Blake, you've got some very appetizing matchups coming up. I don't know if you have a look at it so far, but you start the season against Tommy Hackett's Utah, first up. Then you face Maryland, of course, with Brad Craddock, Tim Gleason's Rutgers, Dan Pasquariello's Penn State, and then finish off with Cam Johnson's Ohio State. At what stage of the season does the trash talking begin? How does it already start?
I did already start with Cam.
Good.
I said the Aussie standoff has started, and I think I hashtag long way from Gosh's paddock.
That's going to trend soon, mate, by the way.
Well, no one really got on it, and therein lies the problem. I don't want to give a little bit of Aussie banter that's going to come across the wrong way, but, well, you'd hope that we get a few of those games on ESPN, wouldn't you?
You'd hope so. And you'd assume so as well.
I think that someone has contacted Chappie from those places to make sure that they get the schedule right for this year. In all seriousness, in terms of which ones have the Aussies in them to preference them. But my favourite part about when you reel off those teams there, Chris, is that you said they're, you know, Cam Johnson's Ohio State and all that sort of stuff. So the punters, that's their team.
Absolutely, it is.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're talking about the Blake O'Neill Michigan Wolverines.
Blake O'Neill's Michigan Wolverines.
Yeah.
Has a nice ring to it.
You started out the program with, I'm the biggest recruit.
Do you believe that?
I think you need to do a bit more research, boys.
I really wish we had a lie detector because that would make this so much more fun when we could ask some questions to the Blake and actually.
I'd be making a false approach if I thought I was coming in as the biggest recruit.
Are you a betting man at all?
You can't be as an NCAA.
Not monetary wise. Just stairs or anything like that. It doesn't have to be monetary wise.
Yeah, what are you putting to me?
No, because I think we should create some sort of bet between you and whoever the Australian is you're playing against and put something on it for each person. Well, we've got to figure that out. We haven't figured that out yet.
Something is of monetary value, though, you see.
No, you have to do something. There's a dare. It doesn't have to be monetary value. Right, it's something that you have to do.
You know,
it's an act.
I prefer not to streak in front of 100,000 people.
Well, you prefer not to, so win.
Okay. All right.
That's easy.
Yeah.
You know when everyone's back in Australia, the loser or the least ranked Aussie in that group has to buy a Subway, the best Subway in Australia, which is Mombok.
No, it's benefits, mate. Mombok. I'm telling you.
So you can't buy. This is going back to the whole monetary value.
After your 1 year. So you won't get in trouble.
True.
We can maybe make Cam Johnson ineligible for his senior year, but that's all right.
Ineligible.
He's already won a national championship.
Ineligible for the Aussie betting bowl.
Yeah.
So you're a big film fan, as we've gathered. So you wanted to study film and TV at Weber State. What are some of your favourite films? What's kind of your influences? Who are some of the favourite directors? All that sort of stuff.
Yeah, Paul Thomas Anderson's a big one.
Nice one.
Magnolia's probably one of the favourites. And Boogie Nights is as rambunctious as that film is, is another favourite. Christopher Nolan's obviously pretty an easy one to throw out there, although Interstellar sort of caught me off guard a little bit.
Did you not like Interstellar?
Didn't love it, no.
Really?
No, I figure a film's a piece of entertainment, however wide-ranging the topics are.
And I saw that at IMAX, and I loved it.
Oh, fantastic spectacle, don't get me wrong. But, I think they bit off a bit more than they could chew there.
So, although it's a bit of a moot point because we know you go into the NFL, if you do not somehow go to the NFL, your career lies in Hollywood?
I would.
As an actor, I would assume, or a model.
No, I wouldn't guess so, boys.
Actor, director,
producer? As much as you got, Chris Hemsworth and a couple of other lads over there, I don't think that's my lot. But
were they models at Vivian's? I don't think so.
Stars of Home and Away.
Well, that's your next step then, once you finish, surely.
Yeah, perhaps
we could get you on Young and the Restless.
I'd have to do a pretty bad American accent and come in as a college football jock on Home and Away.
Well, you're going to have some pretty good experience, but
exactly. So act out what you know.
Have you seen many films from the Oscars this year that were nominated for Oscars?
I've seen a couple.
Because I went to the States, I only came back last week, and I was lucky enough on the plane to be able to see all the latest Oscar films. So I ended up seeing Foxcatcher and The Theory of Everything. Didn't really like those two particularly.
Imitation Game was quite good.
Imitation Game I loved. And I loved Birdman as well. That was probably my favourite out of all of them.
Yeah, really good film.
You like that one?
Yeah, I love Birdman.
And Michael Keaton, you're a big fan?
I haven't really watched much Michael Keaton, to be honest with you.
That's fair enough.
Obviously, his Batman's fairly lodged in the annals of film history, but
what was wrong with that one?
Nothing.
Everything. Sorry, go on, Chris.
That was it.
Yeah.
Birdman was a great film, mate. That's the thing. You might as well try something a little bit different, you know?
Yeah.
I thought that was a bit crazy going out there and filming a one-shot for an entire film, but it was enjoyable and it was almost like watching a piece of theatre.
And a lot of people were saying that it was a little too jarring, but I didn't find that at all. The people might have been a bit put off by it or something. I heard that
I have absolutely no knowledge in this industry.
Birdman, you don't know Birdman. It was shot completely without any visible cuts.
I'm talking in terms of what would look good or what wouldn't.
Oh, sure.
But like, you've got an interest in the entertainment industry as a future career, yeah? In some form, don't you?
In some form. Well, so I finished my degree at RMIT with a major in cinema studies. Hence the interest. And I also worked in event management within a company called A New Concept that did roadshow films, premieres, and a bunch of other things. So I've certainly had a little dabble in that industry.
Because that was my number one love before I came across radio. I was studying screenwriting. I wanted to be a screenwriter. And I studied at RMIT industry. As well. It is. Yeah. And I just found out relatively quickly that it's kind of too hard to make a living off being a screenwriter, so I came to radio.
No, don't let that deter you, mate. Just jump in there, you know.
I'll see.
You don't get paid as a college athlete, but we still do it.
Yeah,
it's a tough job.
Yeah, no,
it's a little more illustrious being a college footballer than being a freelance screenwriter. Let's just say that.
Yeah, okay. All right, fair call.
Thank you.
Anyway, what we've established through this entire interview is that Blake O'Neill succeeds at everything he does. So it's been a real confidence boost to Blake. We really appreciate it.
And thank you for jumping on the show. And you said you head there in May, was it? You head over?
Hopefully in May, yes. Yeah, we'll sort of work through all the particulars and I should be there early May. So looking forward to it.
Beautiful. Well, we're pumped that you're over there, mate. So congratulations. Thanks again for coming in. And we can't wait to hopefully have all of those games on ESPN, at least the ones with all the Aussies. So that'd be a fantastic. That's amazing being able to play that many Australians in one season. So
absolutely. And if you want to see some of Blake's finest work, just type in Blake O'Neill into Google Images and you'll be well rewarded.
That's quite easy to find, actually.
Thanks, boys. I really do appreciate that. I hope my Twitter followers go up after this.
Actually, yeah, what is your Twitter handle? Because people would love to follow you on Twitter.
Just
sure.
Google it. That's fine.
It's at Blake O'Neill. And then, you know, he's also got a specific profile on viviansmodels.com. I don't even know what the website is.
Thanks, mate. We'll chat to you soon.
No worries. Thanks for having me.